You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Yeah, and then he fell off. And now he's back.
I'm here.
Okay. Hi, Dave.
You guys hear me now?
Yeah, we lost just a minute there.
Okay. Well, that was weird. And what was weird was my recording had stopped too, so I had to check that. That's weird.
Is it?
It's going again. I don't think I lost anything on the previous show, conversation. It was just when we stopped, I think I freaked it out, so I had to like stop the MP3 Skype recorder and restart it.
Okay.
But I heard you guys discussing, you know, turning everything off on the internet, you know, while you're recording.
Right. But I can't do that because Chrissy's, you know, I can't take that away from her. She's in there, the other room watching TV. So, and that's, we're just streamers. We don't have any kind of TV. So.
Well, you know, our podcasting is way more important than Netflix. So you really need to, you know, set her straight. Maybe just have her sit on the side right next to you and wait for you to get done. And you can send her for drinks when you're talking. See, there you go. I'm solving all kinds of problems tonight.
No, you're actually making all kinds of problems.
Should
I? I'm not going to do any of that.
Should I ever massage my feet while I'm doing the podcast too?
Even better. Oh my God. See? Yeah.
See, because I see her with a sledgehammer.
I believe they call that hobbling.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Seem to remember a movie that did something with that.
Yes.
Misery by Stephen King with Kathy Bates and James Caan.
Yeah.
That was a great movie. Oh my God.
I read that book and I thought, oh my God, they're going to make a movie out of this. I want to be like the first person in line to see it.
Yeah. You know, there was a thing going around on Facebook, something about Stephen King. What's your favorite adaptation of Stephen King's movies? And I forgot about that one until we just started talking about it now. And I'm thinking now that that is the best adaptation as far as like from book to movie. Oh, either that or Shawshank Redemption. Those are the two that I would choose.
I didn't read Shawshank Redemption. I read Dead Zone, though, and that came pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really get into any of the books. But yeah.
Oh, I read a lot of Stephen King.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
So I couldn't tell you like which one did, you know, the book the best justice.
I can tell you which one was the worst. I wrote a blog about it.
Oh my God. Oh man. You guys, I don't know how much often you watch, I'm just going to bring this up really super quick, because one of my least favorite movies that they didn't have that adaptation from the book was The Shining.
Oh.
And I really wanted Shelley Duvall to die so bad. But no. Did you know they actually did that to her on purpose? When she was doing all that shit, that director messed up her head. Like, he alienated her from the rest of the cast. He made her do like one scene like 150 times. He was like seriously fucking with her. And then when it was like time for her to do the scenes with Jack Nicholson, it was like she hadn't seen him throughout, you know, the whole other time. So when they were filming together and he was being that character, she was like reacting to that like a real person. It was like super fucked up what they did to her.
Jesus.
And I thought, you know, all this time I'm thinking that she was, you know, and they did that to shit to her for real. Yeah. I could explain why she doesn't do movies anymore. That was awful.
Yeah, I guess if I was being treated that way, I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
This is not what I signed up for.
Yeah. Not at all.
Alright. Double check.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai! Banzai! Banzai!
Banzai!
Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I.
Joe! Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Return to a galaxy far, far away.
Here we go again.
Return to Jabba the Hutt.
You will bring Captain Solo and the Wookiee to me.
Return to the Death Star.
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Return to the Ewoks of Endor.
Not bad for a little furball.
But most of all, return for the fun of it. Return of the Jedi, rated PG. Now playing at a selected theater near you.
This is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I've got Scott.
Hello.
And Rose.
Howdy do.
And what we're doing, dear listener, is we are going to be wrapping up our Potterilogy of talking about Star Wars. And this time we're talking about Return of the Jedi, released in 1983. Very awesome end of the trilogy for, you know, the retro 70s, 80s period that we like to talk about. And I absolutely loved this movie. It wasn't my favorite of them all, but it was just a wonderful addition to greatness of the Star Wars trilogy back at the time. So as we do in these things, what we try to do is we keep to the format of you know, who's our favorite character, what was our favorite scene, and what kind of marketing stuff that was going on at the time did you have, want, or just, you know, want to acknowledge. So, Return of the Jedi, favorite scene. I think I'll start. I don't think I've gotten to start on the other two, so I'll start this one.
Go for it.
Can we do favorite character first?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm sorry, you're right. Favorite character. Let's see. Who would I pick as a favorite character? I actually, looking at the cast list, or actually just looking at everything here, It's going to be cheesy, but it's got to be C-3PO. And the reason why is there was his interaction with Ewoks, where they thought he was the, you know, a golden god, and, you know, he didn't know how to be that for them because he's just a droid. And you know, it was just a fun interaction of how, you know, he was just doing his thing. He was just, you know, what he was programmed to do. And then, you know, they kind of needed him to be this godlike creature in order for them to get what they needed from the Ewoks.
Yeah.
And so that was fun. It was fun of the transformation of him kind of becoming a, you know, not just a droid, but having to be something a little bit more than his station in life. Mm-hmm. And what I even really thought was even cuter was when he's in the, you know, afterwards, and they're sharing the story of, like, the battles and all that, and C-3PO is talking in the Ewok language and doing the sound effects, and, you know, all these Ewoks are just riveted to him, you know, at this storytelling event. And then, you know, all of a sudden they're, like, hugging Han Solo, you know, because of, you know, what he had to go through and all that, you know. It was a cute interaction, and I love the way that was played off in this movie, of just epic greatness. So favorite character, Rose, where are you at?
Well, I hope I'm not stealing anybody's thunder, but if I know Scott, I probably am not. So to me, this movie is one of my favorites as well. It actually, I'm looking for a word. It's all about family. And it has to do with, you know, who everybody is on the mission. It has to do with Luke and Leia. I want to say Luke and Laura. Luke and Leia. it has to do with the
wrong
Ewoks.
Wrong soap opera.
Yeah, I know. Wrong soap opera. It has to do with everyone that is involved on this journey, you know, because if you call, this is it. You know, we didn't have any further imaginations coming from anyone that there was going to be anything else, you know, because, you know, 2000 and whatever is a really long time away from 1983. And everybody's like, no, I think we're done. I'm like, okay, good. Let's make this let's wrap this up and make this a good one. So my favorite character in this movie is actually Darth Vader, because it ties in with my favorite scene. And you just don't. It's the dysfunctional family at its best or worst, so to speak. You know, because we've all seen them, we've all had them, and it's, he learns a lot. He's still a dick, but, you know, he's starting to understand, you know, what was stolen from him. And, you know, it's just, you can see towards the end, he just really doesn't have it in him to do what he's supposed to do, because he was robbed and he knows that. So, yeah.
Yeah. I could definitely see that, where the moment that I'm sure you're going to be talking about, you know, the conflict mm-hmm. you know, that Darth Vader has in this movie. And, yeah, I could see why that would be a good pick. Scott, favorite character from Return of the Jedi?
This is a really tricky question.
It's a trap.
Dude, I was gonna say
you're going Ekbar?
Get the hell out of here. Just because of that line. Okay. Now, because there's a lot, I'm not kidding. It's
wow.
So funny that you said that. It's a trap. that lobster-headed dude is just such a trip. And then, you know, of course there was a cereal named after him too.
There was?
There wasn't.
Okay.
But it was in Robot it was in Robot Chicken Ekbar cereal. It was the best. It is so funny. So anyway, I was eyeballing Admiral Ekbar just because it's a funny choice. But I don't know who to pick on this one. I think Luke shined in this one. You know, really, because he'd come so much further with his training.
Mm-hmm.
Han returning once they rescued him from the Carbonite is just always been one of my favorite. He's just a favorite character of mine throughout the series, and then all the books that I read afterwards, with beginning, you know, with some of the stuff that told the pre-story of Han Solo. And then Lando was really cool in this one too, because he did a lot. He did a lot of stuff in this where he really came out, and he was in, you know, flying the Millennium Falcon most of the time while everybody was on the planet.
Yeah, on Endor.
Endor, thank you.
Yeah,
the Ewok planet. with the little furry creatures.
The little teddy bears.
Yeah, that everybody thought was so cute and didn't like the direction they took with that. But that's another topic. We'll start talking about stuff like that later. So anyway, I'm gonna have to go with Luke. I think he came a long way, and he ended up kicking some ass in the end. You know,
he totally did. Yeah,
he matured greatly from Empire Strikes Back to this, and throughout this one.
And kind of what Rose was talking about earlier, where you had that badass in you, and he kind of had to, and he had to release it. And this one showcased that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some confidence. He had confidence, a little bit of swagger to him.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the scene when Darth Vader actually comes down to the planet and he's talking to Luke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're walking down this hallway, and Luke says, "I can feel it in you. You're fighting it." You know, which eventually ends up at the end where he turns and he gave in to the fight. So, yeah, it was really, it's a good one.
Okay,
he just really shined in this one. Although I'll say this is my least favorite of the three that we're talking about. For sure.
Okay.
By far.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, let's save that one. We'll rank them in order of our favorite to our least favorite at the end of this.
Okay.
That sounds good. But honorable mention to Slave Leia.
I was waiting for somebody to do that.
Yeah.
God, I picked that one.
Yeah, I don't know if that was going to come up as a favorite scene or not, but yeah, wow.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
That would be a choice.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Carrie Fisher for this geek boy. I appreciate that.
Going on. Yeah.
Yep.
In a galaxy far, far away, you are needed as a rebel pilot. Become one in the Return of the Jedi Death Star Battle Home video game.
Your mission, fly Millennium Falcon through enemy force field while battling TIE interceptors. Ultimately penetrate and destroy the Death Star before its completion. But beware, the Death Ray can stop you.
Time is running out. Save the rebels. Play Return of the Jedi Death Star Battle from Parker Brothers. If you can stand the pressure.
All right, so now we're moving on to favorite scene. Rose, why don't you go ahead and lead us off on that one?
Thank you. So my favorite scene is the end. Well, it's not really the end, actually, but it's his end. When Darth Vader is injured, wounded, whatever you want to call it. And Luke runs over to help him. And he says, "Take off my helmet." And Luke's no, "But you'll die." And he says, "I'm not going to try and quote it exactly, but paraphrasing, yeah, that's not really going to help things any. I'm going to die either way." So,
it wasn't something along the lines of, like, he died a long time ago, like, he's been dead for a long time, like
I think so.
You know, something like he kind of alluded to that. I can't remember exactly what he said either.
I think it was something along the lines that he wanted to see him with his
with his natural eyes.
His real eyes.
With my own eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, which I thought that was just like, oh my God, you know, it's a bondable moment. You know, this is a dad that, you know, probably didn't realize he was a dad. And then, or maybe did according to those other movies, which I won't speak about, but, he probably did realize he was a dad, you know, but then, you know, this happened and then he became Darth Vader and that all kind of got manipulated out of him, you know, so he didn't have that, those moments, you know, with his kids. So he was having one last moment, you know, with his son, you know, and he tells Luke to tell his sister. I can't remember what he asked us, but, it just, you know, it was very heart wrenching, but it was a necessity, I think, because, there was times when, you know, Luke had like everybody helping him. You know, Luke didn't know shit, first of all. You know, and he had all of these people helping him, you know, and truthfully, who he really needed, he couldn't help. He couldn't do it, you know, because he was bat for the other team. So I think once Luke's skills and his maturity level got up to snuff, it was kind of like, you know, I've got to, you know, rectify my absence, so to speak, and then, you know, go on to wherever, you know, Jedi's go when they die. But, it's a really poignant moment. And I think that when he does die and Luke, I think they wrote it really well where he just hung his head in sorrow. There were no tears, you know, no, you know, overly dramatic expressions of mourning, but it was like he was paying homage, you know, to a man conflicted. So that was a very, very moving scene.
Yeah, because, I mean, in the first movie, you know, he had, a big emotion for losing Ben. But, mm-hmm. you know, losing his father, you know, who essentially he barely knew. You're right. It was just kind of like, all right, now I understand this guy a bit, you know, mm-hmm. and just wish that, you know, probably wishing that he would have had more time to get more from him, you know, as good Anakin versus Darth Vader.
Right.
But
it wasn't to be.
Yeah. Very powerful moment in the movie. Scott, where are you at? Favorite scene?
I'm gonna go with when, Han and Leia and Chewie and them are down on, Endor and suddenly they get trapped and Han has got his back to the stormtroopers and Leia shows him the gun and he says, I love you. And she says, I know.
Yeah.
That was classic. Like, all right, good. That's funny. But really, like, a little bit more drawn out scene is the chase on the speeders. On the, what do you call them?
Awesome.
That was a lot of fun. And I remember being in part of you'd go to at the arcade. It was a part of the video game where you had to, like, dodge logs and shoot other speeders that were out there with the stormtroopers. And, that was just a really fun little piece of it. The rest of the movie, you know, it moved pretty good. It had some good action scenes, but it seemed a lot weaker to me than like Empire. as far as really good action scenes. A lot of good actions. So.
Yeah, I remember wanting an Andor speeder bike.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speeder bike, yes.
Yep. For me, favorite scene has got to be Jabba's palace. I love the kind of the moment when Luke gets dropped and he's got to fight the Rancor, and then all of a sudden, once he's defeated him, then you know he's kind of reunited with Han and Chewie, and you know they have a little bit of dialogue where you know Han's like, "Well, how are we doing?" And you know Luke says, "You know, same as always." He goes, "Oh, that bad."
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
You know, the gang's Han all always, together again.
So. Yeah, Han always had the best comedy relief.
Yeah,
like he was the biggest part of the comedy relief. He always had the good one-liners. Like in Empire, you know, it was, "I thought they smelled bad on the outside."
Right.
Or, you know, the "I love you and I know" interaction, that thing. And but yeah, he always had those funny little sarcastic one-liners that were great. So.
Yeah. And yeah, just the greatness that was the Jabba Palace.
Oh yeah, that was really cool. Yeah. Very cool. And you're right, the whole scene with Luke fighting the Rancor monster, and then and then when he does kill him, the two guards that, like, it's like their pet. They're like crying and walking away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So good pick on the favorite scene too. It's one of the highlights for me too. I like the beginning of it.
Yep. At
Jabba's palace.
The Force is back. The Rebels won't tire till they see the last of the Empire. And Kenner's there with Star Wars Return of the Jedi collection.
Now for a quick escape on a speeder bike.
New speeder bike. You have to put it together. Action figures each sold separately.
Meow. I've got you now. Open speed flaps and meow. I'm gonna crash. Biker Scout, you're not all you're cracked up to be.
New speeder bike. Action figures sold separately from Kenner's Star Wars Return of the Jedi collection.
All right, so we're going to talk about kind of the marketing machine that was behind Return of the Jedi. So there's a lot of stuff that was getting released, as all the movies had. The thing that first came to mind when I wanted to talk about this movie is I had these lithographs, or they were prints of lithographs, that they're way bigger than 8.5 by 11. But I remember they came in like this cardboard case thing, and there's about 9 to 11 of them, and the two that come to mind from the movie that I always loved really looking at was, one was the scene where the Emperor is shooting the lightning bolts and kind of frying Luke. So you got Luke in the forefront of the picture, and then the Emperor in the back, and you just have all this lightning that's going into Luke, and you could tell that it's really hurting him. And it was just a very powerful way it was painted and it was portrayed. And then the other one is when you have there was one where you have a little image of Luke and this big Rancor monster facing him. So you really got you're looking at the back of Luke and the front of the Rancor, and just kind of coming down at him. And it was just so well done, you know, as an artist print. And I just remember always looking at those. And I'm almost sure one of the other ones had a speeder bike in it too, besides some space scenes as well. But I just really, to me, I remember having that. I know that I've since lost it over the years. I have no idea where it went, or, you know, if, you know, it got thrown away or whatever. But
yeah.
I really loved the memory of that packet of lithographs. And yeah, I wish I could remember how big they were. I just remember they were pretty big, and I didn't really have any, you know, them like framed on my wall or anything like that. It was just look at them and then put them back. Rose, did you have anything from Return of the Jedi that you can remember that was kind of going on that you saw that, you know, was kind of out there?
No.
No, nothing.
Yeah. No. I was in Germany at the time. My kids were, I was probably PCSing from Germany to here. And, my oldest son was 3. And then I had, my youngest was probably a few months old. So by the time they were old enough to be able to play with toys like that, they, like I said, there was just so much stuff going on around besides that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Scott?
So, okay, I'm 15 at this point when this one came out. So I was kind of out of the toy realm by this time.
Right.
But I still had, and this started from the beginning, was the collector cards.
Okay.
That they made. And I always still enjoyed looking at those and remembering the scenes and thinking these, you know, just kind of collecting them, at the time. So that's something that I always remember is just having. Oh God, I wish I had them all now. Really. I mean, I had like between me and my brother, we had triplicate of all the different colored series that came out for every movie. You know, you had the red ones, the yellow ones, the blue ones that all had different trim around the edge of the picture. And then there was even a you know, some smaller collections of them. And I had like a nightstand with like 3 drawers.
Right.
Full of these cards. Stacked.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a lot. And I really wish I knew what happened to those, because I'm sure they'd be worth some bank nowadays. and, you know, we kept them in pretty good condition, too. We didn't have them in the original wrappers or anything like that, or in collector books. But, yeah, that's the thing that I remember the most. From Return of the Jedi was still getting, going out and getting the next series of cards, or actually I remember buying the whole box.
Yeah. Okay.
You know how you buy
a case of them, right?
Yeah. And it was a whole box of a bunch of different ones. And you just start ripping through them and seeing which ones you got, which ones you're missing, you know, trader cards. So yeah, that was the thing that I recall mostly about it.
Now every one of those series always had like collector cards. Were those like stickers? Do you remember?
Okay, so not all of them. Most of them were just collector cards with a little snippet of something on the back, like a, you know.
Yeah, like a scene.
Yeah, it would be a scene, a picture of the scene on one side, and then the other side it would have a description of the scene.
Right.
Or it might have just some little nugget of trivia
right,
on the back.
Right, right.
You know, like Darth, you know, Darth Vader was so many feet tall or whatever. Some stupid little
nugget some factoid. Trivia.
Yeah. So lately I just sent you guys a picture earlier of the 4 action figures that my sister found in a box at my mom's house. It was Han and then a couple other, 3 other more minor role pictures or figures. But my brother also a couple years ago found a couple, like a stack of cards, not a big stack, like 6 or 7 cards from the trading cards. I don't know why he had them separated from the rest of the big amount that we had. But he sent me a couple of those too. I'll dig them out after the show, and I'll send you guys a picture. Maybe we can even post them with the podcast when it comes out on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
Twitter or whatever. So, I'll shoot pictures of that for you.
Sweet.
So yeah, it's just, I know that. Sometimes I know some of them came with a sticker in them, but most of them were just the cards.
Okay. Yeah, I remembered like non-sport trading cards had different things that they would, you know, that were rare because they weren't in every set, or not every set, but they weren't in every packet. So you had to keep buying them in order to find those rare cards. And I didn't know if Star Wars was – I don't think they were doing holograms. So I was just trying to think if they were at if the stickers were the were those things.
Right.
Okay. I know that non-sport trading cards also had sometimes movies did these things where they had like the puzzles on the back where you'd put together a bigger picture.
They did have that. I remember that for sure.
Okay. And by the way, I just saw that picture that you sent us. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also got it too.
I totally forgot to tell you guys about that when I got them before. And they found a couple others, and I can't remember what the other ones were. I'd have to ask my brother and my sister because they each wanted to have one or two of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Which one was it that my brother wanted to keep? I can't remember, but I said that I don't care about the others. Like I don't, the four that are in the picture, I just wanted Han Solo. Like, that's something from my childhood that I'd like to hang on to, just that one figurine. The rest are kind of, you know, very minor roles, so they're just – my sister sent them to me anyway. So either way, I appreciate it that she would consider it and sent them. Actually, she sent them with my mom when my mom came to visit back in December.
Okay.
So
there's – two questions. The first one that is kind of the sore thumb is at the end of the movie, you saw the ghost image of Yoda and Ben Kenobi and Anakin. How did you feel when they changed the movie so that it was Hayden Christensen? Either one of you can answer.
Okay. So, I did not like any of the new versions.
Right.
Of three.
Right.
So, any changes that they made were kind of more annoying to me than... So, I didn't like that. I think they should have kept it with the original old version of Anakin. Which his name was the actor.
I had it open.
Is it John Krause?
Yes. No, wait. Where is it? Not David Prowse. That's who was in the costume, but it was actually Anakin was Sebastian Shaw.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah. Okay. No, I like the original. I don't like any of the changes that they made, especially at Jabba's palace with the newer graphics of CGI with the band and all that stuff. It was more annoying than anything. So
you feel the same way, Rose?
Yeah. I did not think that needed to be done. I don't know who advocated for that or they lobbied to get this information to make this change, but major fail.
Yeah, agreed. I don't think they should have changed it at all. So now the question that we had from before that we wanted to circle back on is if you had to...
Wait, oh. I'm thinking about this. So you said that they when they changed it in the newer version of Return of the Jedi, they went to the actor that portrayed Anakin in not Phantom Menace, but the other two.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
the younger version of Anakin.
Yeah, they CGI'd in Hayden Christensen.
Right. Right.
Right.
Now, but they didn't do that with Ben.
No.
No.
They did not.
See, now Ben died as Alec Guinness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Darth died as Sebastian Shaw. And Yoda died as Yoda, but, you know, there's no aging there. He's like 800 years old anyway.
Right.
So why would they change it to the younger version of Anakin when it was really – and they didn't change Ben, though. Back
Good
to
question.
What's his name?
Oh boy.
Homeboy from Phantom Menace.
Yeah. Is it Liam Neeson?
No, that was Ki Kwan something or other. Joe Doe.
Oh, what was his name?
Mike Kondo. Jar Jar Binks. That's what it was. Jar Jar.
Oh Jesus.
The best Star Wars character of all time.
All of a sudden we've lost Scott. Scott, you still there? Oh dear God.
Well, I told you guys about that experience on the train.
Anti-Jar Jar.
I told you about that story on the train, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a moment. It was funny. I slay myself sometimes.
Let's see. I'm actually bringing up Phantom Menace here just because it's bugging me.
Who? The actor.
Yeah.
He's an
English.
Obi-Wan guy.
Yeah. I can't think of him.
Yeah, I don't know why my brain is like... And I was actually... I know. Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah,
they should have, if they were going to change Anakin, they should have changed you to Ewan McGregor also.
You're right.
Not at all.
Just leave it alone.
Yeah.
It was fine the way it was.
Yeah.
It was fine the way it was.
Yep. So as we talked about earlier, we wanted to go back and classify the movies, ranking them from your favorite to your least favorite. Scott, I think you laid it out before, but just to remind us, if you had to, out of those three movies, A New Hope, Empire, and Return of the Jedi, what is your order from favorite to least favorite?
So, I still lean towards Empire as my favorite. Although, I can never take away the ground floor, the ground that A New Hope set, the introducing the characters and bring this whole new world of, or not just new world, whole new galaxy, of just cool stuff and great science fiction. But Empire, really, like I said before, is really one of the best sequels I've ever seen in any series of any movies. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers might be a close second as far as great sequels. But this one, and there's just so many great scenes in it. Like we said in the last podcast, you've got the battle on Hoth, you got, the lightsaber duel between Darth and Luke and just so much great stuff. And then I would definitely put A New Hope right behind it. And then Return of the Jedi is like kind of down on the list, if anything. I didn't like it. I think the Ewoks were too cute and cuddly, and that's not what Star Wars is supposed to be about. It's not cute and cuddly.
Okay. So you're going Empire, New Hope,
yeah.
And then
so it'd be Jedi. Five, 4, 6.
Okay. Rose.
New Hope, Return of the Jedi, and Empire.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So, Empire at the last. Wow, that's interesting. I would go Empire, Jedi, New Hope.
Really? Yeah. Wow, Dave. I'm surprised.
Yeah. I think the whininess that was Luke.
Yeah,
it was too prevalent in the first one.
Yeah.
And
he was a millennial, basically.
Oh, that's good. Well, right, there's a millennial Jedi.
Our podcast. I hear them all unsubscribing as we speak.
Yeah, these jerks are millennial haters. Yeah.
You can edit that part out if you want.
Beep.
All right. He was a whiny little punk ass. Oh, I just couldn't stand it. breathe.
Yeah, and I think that's why, you know, I would put that as the last one. And but it was still powerful when it came out, and I loved all the movies. It was just if I had to pick an order, that's the way I would go. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to wrap some things up right now. So this is us wrapping up our Potterology. I still have fun saying that, Potterology. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so we want to remind you to go to our website, which is Banzai Retro Club, Banzai RetroClub.com. Check out our links to our social media. There's the ability to leave us a voicemail, so please do that. You can also shoot us an email. So if you're interested in giving us your feedback on Return of the Jedi and your thoughts and maybe some memories of stuff that you collected, we'd love to hear from you. So please do all that for us. And also, if you have one of those Apple devices, go out there and give us a rating review on iTunes and subscribe. And also, if you're on Spotify or any of those other streaming services, you can find us on there too. So please check us out on all those different mediums. This is part of the show where we like to remind everybody to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 Banzai! All right, we didn't, like, end that one with, like, you know, may the force be with you. So, yeah. A little disappointed. Yeah. A little disappointed.
May the Schwartz be with you.
And by the way, I've got the link to that Admiral Akbar serial open right now so that I can play that after we get done talking.
It's funny.
Yep.
That whole robot chicken, Seth Green with the robot chicken stuff, that I have the Star Wars ones on DVD. Like, I recorded them somewhere. I can't remember where I got a copy of it, but I burned them onto a DVD, so it's really, really fun to watch.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hysterical.
I guess we'll have to eat this boring oatmeal.
It's a trap!
Wow, Admiral Akbar! Wow, Admiral Akbar cereal!
Colorful marshmallows!
It's like tasting crappy!
Your tongues can't repel flavor of that magnitude.
There's a prize in every box.
Admiral Akbar cereal, now with brine shrimp.